Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast where we talk about what's big, sad, and fun in the week of sports.
Or whenever it is we record.
Whatever it is we record. I'm James and I'm here with Edward. Edward,
how you doing, man?
We took a couple weeks off.
Yeah.
As is pretty usual for us.
You know, we're kind of like an eclipse. You know, when we show up, we're great, but it's rare that we show up.
We've got almost 60 episodes of Big Sad Fun out there. I encourage anyone to go back and take a look and listen. Some of those old episodes are pretty good. We've been doing this for a little over 2 years now. My goal is to get to 100 episodes by October of 2024. All right. So
we
I think,
be able to do
you know, if we put in the work and do the research and all the analysis, and then show up to record.
That's never a problem.
We're just busy people.
It's showing up to record.
Yeah. But here we are today, and it's...
Can you imagine if we had a third host, how much harder this would be?
I can't even imagine.
Man.
We're in the Christmas season.
We are.
How's your Advent going so far?
Good, I think.
We've entered that sweet spot of all the college bowls are starting up.
Yes. That now you're talking my language.
Yes.
Advent, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but we're talking college bowl season.
And the NFL season's coming.
We've partnered with someone. We're going to tweet out a bowl pick 'em thing for us.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yes, let's do it.
I'll get you all set up on it after
we record. Speaking of,
and I would have brought that up before we recorded, but I forgot about it.
That's
just
fine.
Now.
We do like to do our pre-production meetings in the first segment of our podcast. We really want anyone to see behind the scenes and what it is that we try to do.
Well, really, it's just there is no behind the scenes. It's just this is all the scenes.
There's no behind. The behind the scenes is a text message that goes, "Hey, you want to record today?
Sure.
Yeah.
When? Cool.
All right. So speaking of college bowls, we have set now from last week. We're a little behind on this. Nobody's talking about it now. So we're going to fill the void here.
I mean, I think
the college football
playoffs. Just in under like you know. The cast of Rugrats on their
right.
take on the college football thing.
So college football playoffs are set. We have our four teams are Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Alabama.
I was wondering if you're going to get them all.
Yeah, right. It's hard for me to remember all those college teams. But this is a minor league playoff championship situation going on, and Georgia didn't make it, and the big name, obviously, Florida State didn't make it after going perfect and being from a Power 5 conference. So my first question, my first thing that I want to talk about is how you feel about that.
So
do you think they got it right is the question everyone's asking.
Okay. Pretty much I think they got it right.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think... I understand why FSU's fans are mad.
Yes.
I get it. I think your politicians need to calm the hell down.
Yeah, that's insane. So,
I mean, and it's all just, and I mean, this isn't really what we're talking about, but like it's so just obviously to get the applause line.
It's part of it though. I think this is worthy of talking about because
you have a politician
now that's investigating how college football
and you have the governor.
This.
And the governor threatening to like sue them.
Is he running for president? Because it sounds like
yeah, obviously. Like, but you know, that's what it's all just grandstanding.
Yeah, right.
Nothing's
now, something
come
that may
it.
Come out of that though, which might be interesting, is finding out exactly how the process works and who voted for who.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff has never been revealed. So
for
that
good
might
reason,
that might
yeah.
be interesting to see.
Yeah,
to expose that whole system. I am interested to know because I mean, to be honest with you, I think they had to put once they decided to put Texas in there. They wanted to put Alabama in there. All right, so I think this is how it went. They wanted to put Alabama in there because Alabama won the SEC. The one loss, SEC champion, beat number one team in the nation.
But that's
right?
they beat.
So
the
they
guy.
Want to put Alabama in there, but if you put Alabama in there, you have to put Texas in there because
yeah.
Texas beat Alabama, and it would be you want to see an uproar to get Texas upset
yeah,
about this, right? So that just left Florida State out in the cold, even though they went undefeated. And as for all the talk about they're having a backup or...
Yeah, which I think that you have to look at, like...
They beat SEC teams this year in their schedule.
But
they went undefeated. Their defense is solid
their
and
defense
good.
Is great. But do you think...
And now they don't even get a chance.
Do you think that without their quarterback, they have a chance with the national championship?
I don't know. That's why we play the games. That's why
well,
we play
but,
the
but
games.
But if we only have so many games to play, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think
and
it's
that's,
great, though. I think it's great that a controversy like this happens
oh,
in the last
I do
year.
Too.
The last year that we have four
Although,
teams.
But now there's just going to be a controversy over... 14,
yeah, but people
13,
don't care as much about that. This is like Florida State went undefeated.
Yeah,
I mean
but
that
it's like,
unprecedented.
But and you know, it's like if all it takes is just winning all your games, then Liberty should be in.
But this is a Power 5 conference.
I agree.
They beat real teams. They scheduled SEC teams.
And And I think had that quarterback not been hurt, and like when you watched that ACC championship game, it's clear Louisville should have won.
Louisville was scoring all kinds of points all year long.
Yeah, and no, Florida State has a great defense, without a doubt.
And that defense, what you're saying is you're valuing one half of the football game above the other. You're valuing offense over defense. You're saying that Florida State defense couldn't compete with these
I think they could.
So the question then becomes, Alabama,
I didn't watch
the game. I don't watch these games,
I'm not saying they couldn't get a first down.
But Alabama beat Georgia, and that's a great SEC rivalry game, which almost you want to say like hardly even matters how good either team is, because it's going to be a game no matter what. And then you look at Alabama the week before, needed a miracle pass on 4th and 31 to beat Auburn.
But that's the biggest rivalry.
Yeah. I just undercut my own point. But yeah. That's what we do but here. Like,
and I'm peeking a lot.
You're fine.
But like,
you
are
peeking because what you're saying is value to the people.
You know what? I appreciate that. But it'd be hard to watch them in, like to watch.
Yeah.
And I can't think of their quarterback's name.
No one knows.
The one who got hurt. Yeah, it'd be hard to watch a hymnless team.
Yeah.
Lose by 40 to Washington.
A hymnless team. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're right, and I think they learned something about that with TCU last year.
And I think that plays a like
huge. Yeah, that national championship last year was awful. It was good for Georgia, but it was awful to watch as a fan.
You don't want blowouts.
You don't.
And when you do want a blowout, it's that. The first round, but definitely not in the national championship.
And I think they fixed that this year because you have a situation where these four teams are all deserving to be there, I think. And they're
honestly,
all good.
If ever there was a year for an emergency 16 playoff, I think this would be the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, and let Georgia and Florida State in.
So you were not upset that Georgia wasn't even considered?
I mean, I was. I felt like if Florida State lost, we had a chance.
Yeah.
And it would have been a tough chance because we would have had to have gotten in over Texas.
Right.
But there, in no world do we get in and Alabama doesn't.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
especially since they beat you.
They just beat us
the week before.
Yeah.
Do you have any qualms with being dropping all the way down to 6? I mean, that doesn't really matter. It seems like something insignificant.
And, you know, I do think it's funny that we're playing Florida State in the. Whatever bowl, I can't remember.
Yeah, the whatever bowl brought to you by Goodyear Tires or whatever.
or but whatever. They had like a press conference, and it was just like so obvious neither coach wanted to be there. It's going to be the most like we're both mad at everything.
So that's an interesting kind of peek ahead, though, in that bowl game, which probably happens on what, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day? New Year's Day. So, it's one of the big bowls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not the Orange Bowl, but. Or maybe it's the Orange Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl or the Sugar Bowl.
I think it's the Fiesta Bowl, but I've got to look it up. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So, but let me ask you, though. Do you guys get up to play that game? Is that or how many people do you have not play? I know Brock Bauer's probably not going to play.
You know, I haven't heard. I think more of the news has been about transfer guys.
Yeah, you guys have lost some.
We lost a couple
non-starter transfers, right? I mean, this is not.
Our kick returner.
Oh my gosh! How are you going to recover from that?
It's the Orange Bowl.
The Orange Bowl. Okay.
Sorry, that had to.
No, that's
had
fine.
To get there.
That's good.
And you know, like I haven't been following it too closely. I'm sure some guys are going to opt out here upcoming. Now, I think Brock Bowers 100% should opt out.
Yeah.
But he's not going to.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a lunatic.
Well,
I mean, this is a guy who
needs to get healthy for the
back.
Dallas Cowboys next year.
This is a guy who came back from an injury way before he should have.
Right. Right.
And
I like it, though.
Him and Ladd both like were still injured in the SEC championship game. And it was like, guys, stop.
Does Georgia show up to play that game? If you lose to Florida State.
That's going to be a tough.
Man, and if Florida State beats Georgia and they go undefeated for the season having beat Georgia and had been left.
They're going to be so annoying.
Is there a situation, is there a situation where you have like the coaches poll or the AP put them number one?
They're going to do what UCF did.
I mean,
they declare themselves national champions.
I feel like they had every right to do so if they wanted to.
I mean,
or like Ole Miss did, where they're like, "Hey, yeah, all the 50s, we won those."
Well, that's what Alabama did too. I saw a great quick side tangent. We'll get back to that.
Yes, please.
I saw a great video. I was looking at, like, back in that era, like, the teams that these colleges would play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would be like someone played high schools.
Yeah.
Or like the NYO Rec League. And it's like, what? But yeah, I mean, oh my God. And I mean, UCF did that a couple years ago and annoyed everybody. And I definitely think Florida State's going to do it and annoy everybody if they can beat Georgia. Now, that is something that could get Georgia going, is them wanting to not let Florida State be able to call themselves national champions the way UCF did.
And you'd go down with two losses? I mean, I just don't, like, I don't,
but like, we've had trouble with Kirby getting up for non-playoff bowl games.
Right. Well, it's hard to get those teams, it's hard to get those kids up once they've, that's deflating.
Mm-hmm. Especially
losing
when
that game and then not being invited to the playoffs.
And like, I mean, it's, yes.
So,
and especially because, like, by the eye test, Georgia should be in. Like, if the thing was just put the four, like, you know, by the eye test, put the best four teams in, then Georgia would be in. But we all know that that's not really how it works. There's some boxes you have to check. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. But that's a good question about will Florida State do that? And I definitely think they will. What are you doing?
I'm trying to look up
I've been just
you're vamping. You're doing a great job. I was trying to look up the this poster that I saw one time about the College of the South, Swanee, and this run they went on in like the late 1800s, early 1900s, where they beat like LSU and Alabama.
Oh yeah, because they're a founding member of the SEC.
Right, and they just went on this tear and beat everybody. Here we go. Yeah, in 1899, Swanee, the University of the South, went undefeated in football. They played five games in 6 days, beating Texas, Texas A&M, Tulane, and LSU. And
when was this?
1899, the best team in the history of college football.
So
I don't know why I thought that was important to share, but these guys, they look like good-looking dudes.
Around the 1900s, they had to make a lot of changes to football.
Yeah, because of Swanee?
Well, because a lot of people kept dying. Like,
leather helmets weren't really working out.
So
huh?
It used to be, like, it wasn't where the knee touched when you're down. It was wherever progress was stopped. So you could drag guys.
Oh, wow.
And yeah,
college has come a long. Football's come a long way.
And like, they made the field wider, and like, made it 10 yards for first down, so you'd have to spread it out a little bit.
That's
but everything used to just be the tush push. I love going back and looking at like old black and white
that's
football
awesome.
Stuff.
Yeah,
but
we
yeah,
should
no.
Do some. We should do a special on that somewhere and somehow get.
Oh, I'd love
in that.
To do some history of football.
What is
that'd be a good little, you know?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Let's get into that.
It's gonna be a good little side project.
We're looking for, and maybe we could ask our listeners, all five or six of you. we're looking for a niche to get involved in YouTube, and
a little history of football.
A little history of football might be fun. So all right, but with the four teams that are in, what do you see happening? What do you project?
Okay, that's a good question.
As long as Texas doesn't win, I'm fine.
So I think Texas Washington is going to be an interesting game.
Yeah.
That's going to be Washington's first like real defense that they've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Oregon. They're fun to watch. You know, right. quack, all that good stuff.
Uh huh.
But that's not a defense like Texas has.
Did you hear the backup quarterback for Texas is going to transfer, won't play in this game, so Archie Manning will be the backup quarterback.
Good.
Direct snap backup.
He got to play a little bit.
Arch Manning, I should say.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him.
Yeah, he's talking about leaving too. So, hey, Oklahoma needs a quarterback.
That'd be interesting. I think if he leaves, he goes to Ole Miss. But
oh yeah, that'd be fun too.
Yeah.
Oh man, him and Lane Kiffin.
Oh, well, that would be fun. But and you know, Quinn Ewers seems pretty good. But so I'm gonna go Texas in that.
Texas over Washington. I like that.
Alabama over Michigan.
Just
did you
default?
Did you see that clip of the Michigan players reacting?
Yeah, they were not happy. Oof. Well, they thought they were going to get Florida State. They were hoping for Florida
State.
It's not that they don't think they can beat Alabama. I think Alabama is very beatable by Michigan.
Yeah.
But if you think there's a chance you're going to get Florida State, for all the reasons we have just talked about,
but
you
I
get
saying,
disappointed.
I think that reaction shows you why the committee made the right choice.
Yeah, absolutely. And ultimately, I think they got it right, too.
Yeah.
But you know, I can understand that reaction.
But that's a bad look.
You just think Alabama over Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, I think Michigan has struggled more recently. Yeah.
Well, they didn't have their head coach on the sideline, so he's been suspended for 6 total games this season, and they're in the national.
He's
the number one seed for the college playoff.
He's got to be leaving at the end of the like.
Hey, there might be a spot open for him in Dallas. We'll see.
We'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think he's gonna go back to the NFL.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be
suspended by the NCAA, I'm sure, in some other scheme or scam that hasn't come out yet.
The old Rich Rod technique of show up, stir up some crap,
so
and then leave.
You see Alabama, Texas for the great rematch.
And then I think Alabama wins that.
Yeah, so you're just going to go SEC. You're just a homer. You're just going to go straight across.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's not that I think Alabama. I think Alabama's playing such good football with Jalen Milroe right now.
They should, because they're really good, and they've got all the talent.
But I think Jalen Milroe's kind of figured it out.
If I find myself in a place where I have to be cheering for Texas, I might actually cheer for Alabama.
You know what? I like that.
I don't know. I can't bring myself to cheer for Texas.
Yeah.
But I don't like Alabama either. So I'm hoping for Michigan to win, and then I can just ride Michigan.
What about Washington?
I don't even – is that a state or
– It's a state. It's
I don't know anything about Washington.
Northeast. I had to do Never Eat Talking Waffles.
I don't have any faith in them to do
or Northwest. Anything. Jesus, I'm stupid. What in the world is wrong with me?
Well, there's Washington, D.C. in the Northeast.
Yeah,
so maybe that's what
you're
thinking,
right? No, I just got East and West mixed up in my head. They throw the ball a lot. Penix is fun to watch.
Yeah.
Washington could beat Texas.
You think
that's
so?
That's the game I think is going to be a better game.
Who's the kid that won the Heisman Trophy over the weekend?
LSU. No. It was LSU quarterback. Yeah, LSU quarterback.
Something Daniels. There's like four or five Daniels in the game.
He's the guy who, a Georgia player in the SEC Championship last game, was in the process of sacking.
Yeah.
He just picked him up and then pointed, like, he didn't take him down. He just picked him up like, I could. Just go ahead and blow this whistle, ref.
Oklahoma's quarterback has transferred to Oregon, so.
Well. So, Oklahoma is in the market.
We are in the market, but.
There's a lot of good quarterbacks.
It's down times for Oklahoma.
There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the portal.
All right, so you've got Alabama winning the whole thing.
Yeah. What do you have?
I have to cheer for Michigan.
Washington?
I don't like. I mean, Washington, that'd be fine. It's neutral to me. Mm-hmm. I like Jim Harbaugh. I think Michigan is due a national championship. I don't think they had one since the late 90s, right? Like 97. I'll cheer for them. And, a little swan song for Jim Harbaugh as he returns to the NFL as a hero.
You've got to assume that's what's happening.
I would hope so. But we'll see how it plays out. It's going to be exciting. Again, this is one of the exciting times of year where it seems like there's a college bowl game on every day.
Oh, yeah. And that's always fun.
And it's always fun. Even if it's two teams you don't care about.
But it's fun to see,
Are you at all concerned about some of these games? A lot of kids opt out now and they don't play as much.
Yeah.
Are you worried about the quality of the games at all, or you just next man up and let's go?
Next man up and let's go.
Let's go. Yeah.
I mean, and
I get it. Who cares, right?
If you're like going to be a high draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, you have to at this point.
I would completely not fault Brock Bowers 1 minute
for
opting out of the bowl game if he's going pro.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is weird whenever it's a guy who's like a projected, like, seventh rounder.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, you could probably use this game to help your draft stack.
One of the things that makes that a more complicated or at least nuanced choice is all the NIL money that's coming in. But I'll tell you what kind of money they're not making, which is $700 million.
Good transition.
$700 million from the Los Angeles Dodgers.
So can I quickly pause for 1 second?
I went to a
coaching clinic last weekend. And I sat in a seminar about like high school NIL.
Oh yeah,
stuff is about to get wild.
Yeah.
Had to throw that in there. That being said, Big Sad
Fun
should probably.
I need some fourth grade NIL money so I can get my daughter involved next year in some.
Big Sad Fun might need to do some NIL stuff here coming up.
But anyway, Shohei Ohtani
makes
his decision, signs with the LA Dodgers and not with the Atlanta Braves. As we transition to our sad segment today,
it's a little bit of a force. I didn't think there was a real chance he was coming here.
They said that the Giants offered him the exact same contract, and he picked the Dodgers anyway.
I feel like
the Dodgers were always where he's going
to
go.
I think he wants to win.
He wants to win. Dodgers are a good place to
and
do that,
like,
I guess.
And the way they move this money around, man.
He's deferring like $680 million.
He's going to be getting paid for for 20 years.
Until like 2043 or something is
what
I saw.
Yeah, man. And hey, good for him.
Well, they're talking about how you defer that money. He doesn't even see any of it until like 2030 something. And then, but that's just money that like you're not making any interest on. You're not making any money on. It's just money that's sitting there waiting for
you. I think Shohei has been on such a garbage team for a while
that he's just like,
but he can't take a small contract because the players union is going to like crucify him.
Yeah.
And so he's just like,
yes, I'm going to do, I want to take the small contract, but I can't take the small contract because the players union. Will be
I mean, that's
me.
Like legitimately that's
$700 million.
But
Lord. 10
hey,
years, 700 million.
That's good money. And you know,
and you think the Braves were never in that conversation?
Well, so I forgot where I was going with
if
this.
If you could defer all that, like they did, though.
Well, I mean, the rent's going to be due soon. but what I think is interesting, though, is kind of how the whole free agency thing went.
Yeah,
was fascinating because his whole thing was like, if anything leaks, then like I'm going to hold it against the team.
Yeah,
he's like, I want this to be as like private of a thing as possible.
Right.
But then there were a lot of people tracking planes.
Welcome to America, Shohei. That's not how it works.
Well, it did.
I guess. I think he was always going to the Dodgers.
I do too. But I mean, you know, you have people tracking planes.
Yeah.
Miss tracking planes, which I thought was funny.
So
when there were a bunch of people like on a runway and like the guy from Shark Tank gets out, he's like, what's going on?
Where does that leave the Angels? Are they gonna trade Mike Trout? I mean, what's
I mean, I think he got to.
He got to.
I think he's
gotta go.
I think it's time to blow that up.
Yeah. Would you like to see Trout here in Atlanta?
Oh, I would love to see Trout here.
He's kind
of
on the tail end of his career, but he's still...
Well, but like...
He's probably the best baseball player in the history of baseball that no one's ever heard of or seen play or knows what they look like.
Let him mentor a young Ronald Acuna here for a minute.
Okay. Whew. Yeah.
Whew. Are you kidding me?
You talk about a check that's about to come due.
Oh, yeah. No, that check's coming due. Oh, well, no, he's already re-signed.
Well, eventually,
he's gonna re-up.
There's gonna be a time.
He's gonna say, hey,
there's gonna be a time when the Yankees come call. Or the Mets.
It's gonna be interesting to see when he's like, hey, I'm holding out. Like, you know, because we got him on a pretty team-friendly deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's gonna be interesting to see
guys are really good at that. Locking down the youth in team-friendly deals so that you have them until they're about 30.
Alex Anthopoulos is...
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. You guys have a great GM there. Or is that what they're called?
Yeah.
GM? Yeah. GM there. I heard a rumor he lives down the street here. He may live in this neighborhood.
He's around.
We should go walk around and see if we can find him.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Just to let him know. I think we should do a live broadcast where we go out and try to find AA. And just to let him know he's doing a great job.
Hey, police, come stalk us.
Maybe we'll put that in the hopper, see what comes out. But speaking of a team that needs to spend $700 million, let's talk about your Falcons.
Yeah, so, I mean, and oddly enough, at that same coaching clinic, Arthur Smith was a keynote speaker.
Did he say how to run a team to the ground for 3 straight years? Or
I mean, you know,
what was the topic of his speech?
I understand what he's doing, and regardless of, even though he was like, and I get that I could be biased because he was a keynote speaker, but like,
but you're a supporter of this guy.
Yes.
You're not one of the guys who are saying let's get rid of this guy.
Not at all. I think that
is
dumb.
3-year plan where you had to lose a season every year.
And we aren't out of it yet. But honestly,
right,
though,
but you could have been number one.
Sure. And you know, I think I'm in the boat of let's fix the quarterback situation.
You think it's quarterback? So you're going to blame the Riddler for this, and not the fact that you spent a fourth pick in the draft on Bijan Robinson so that he could run lead block.
We're scoring a lot of points, and like we have.
You're scoring a lot of points. Is that what you think?
Not scoring a lot of points.
But have like, you been watching the same games?
We're like every week our offense has got over 400 yards.
Yeah.
And it's
he had 350 passing does.
Yeah, but it's red zone miscues.
Yeah.
Mostly from him.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I don't
so
know.
You don't think it's the coaching?
No.
You don't think it's the misuse of Bijan?
I think Bijan's.
Don't you get out there and power horse this guy, man?
And then run him into the ground, and then he retires at 28.
What
and then
that's what you do. You're not going to re-sign him.
I mean, but we could have
got him for 5 years. We could have, five years is always good for it.
But like, so Arthur Smith is coming from Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that he's trying to.
You got from Derrick Henry what you're going to get from Derrick Henry, right?
But you're still getting.
You're not. It doesn't matter how much you use him or how little you use him, I should say. By the time he reaches 28, he's going to be done.
But Derrick Henry's like 32. You know what I'm saying?
All right, all right.
And so I think he's reserving him a little bit.
He's not going to be here for that tail end if he doesn't start using him now, is my point, I think.
And, you know, honestly, I think, as much as I hate to say it, I think Kyle Pitts might have been a bust.
Ooh, that's an incendiary insight right there.
I'm not 100% sold to that take yet.
Yeah, wow, really? But I would not have expected you to say something like that.
He's...
You don't
he's
think he?
Getting,
it's him. It's you think it's his
like,
issue.
There's been
or
a lot of like under of him not running out routes.
Well, does he feel motivated to do so when he knows the ball's not going to get to him?
Do we just need to send him a picture of his contract? Like run the route. Like but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I do. Like there's a lot of
wow. Okay.
And like I said, I'm not 100% tied to this take
right,
yet.
Right, but that, okay.
But also like with an aging Matt Ryan, he was 1,000-yard.
Yeah.
And since then, he hasn't been able to reproduce that.
Yeah.
Like in the same offense.
You've had, but that, I mean,
we've had donuts at quarterback.
Dez Ritter is your guy. And he is, I think you're right. I think he's probably not the answer.
Yeah. And now, I mean, he could, but the problem is like you'll see the glimpses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you know, in between the 20s, he's great.
Right.
But it's just like once he gets in the red zone or when he takes a safety.
Back-to-back games. So what is your take on this though? Because it seems like in the fourth quarter he's like superstar.
He's good.
So why can't he put that together in the first three? Is there something in the play calling, or is it just his mind?
It might be a little bit of column A, a little column B.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like the offense kind of has to go into like super drive mode.
Yeah.
And like you know probably go into 4-minute offense and where he's a little better. But, I mean, the like that huge pass he caught for that Drake London caught.
Yeah.
Who he seems to be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Get him the ball.
But, like, that wasn't a great throw. Drake London just made a great play on it.
Right. Welcome to the Dallas Cowboys.
Well,
we'll talk about that in a minute, but.
But, and so, you know, and it's also tough because he was, like, a third-round pick.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like
you don't have a lot invested in him.
But it's tough when we also were supposed to have a backup for this moment, and Heinicke has proven to be inadequate
he is,
as well.
There's a reason why he's a backup.
Yeah. And so, I mean.
So let's.
One more thing. Like, yeah. I do love what Ritter can do with the read option game.
Mm-hmm.
In the red zone, he's been great at that.
When he holds on to the ball.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's if we can just limit the timely turnovers.
I will say that your defense is playing very
defense
well.
Defense playing great,
You're doing great. You got Jesse Bates, of free agency.
Oh my God, yeah.
And so Chicago is going to have the first pick in the draft, probably, it looks like. And they're, you know, there's a couple great quarterbacks, good-looking quarterbacks coming out the kid, you know, and Caleb Williams. And that means they won't need Justin Fields anymore. Would you like to see Falcons make a move to get Justin come back home to Georgia?
So, I would need to watch it a little closer.
He's been playing all right.
And it's like, it would depend on what they wanted.
Yeah.
But like for...
If not Justin Fields, then who? What are you going to do? You're going to have a middling pick.
Yeah.
Probably pick 20. I assume you guys are going to put together a couple wins here and win this division.
Yeah, I do.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I think
Dallas is going to end up here in for the first round of playoffs, and you and I are going to figure out a way to get to that game
awesome.
And watch that game. But that aside,
I do think we're going to end up winning the division.
I do too. I do too. So that means you're going to have like the 22nd pick in the draft or something like that.
Yeah,
probably.
Which is
not good for quarterbacks.
So I mean, I guess we're going to have to probably make a trade.
Where are you going to go?
Well,
what's on your list? Who's
it's
on
like,
your
do
list?
You? Do you keep the quarterback who just got you to?
No, you don't. Right?
I think you've got to make a move there.
I feel like you've seen enough. Unless he just balls out these last four.
Yeah,
games
unless
or
if he is,
and he wins that first round division game against Philadelphia or Dallas.
If that happens,
then you're locked in.
Yeah,
right? Welcome
then,
to
well, and,
being locked
at,
in
at that
terrible
point,
quarterback.
But at that point, I'm like,
you're happy
if he played well enough.
But let's assume
it.
That doesn't happen.
But like you know,
Who do you go
when
get?
But when you look at, like, the success of Tommy DeVito.
What a great story, yes.
But, like, you know, there's
have you
talent.
Seen his agent?
Oh, my God. The clip of his brothers.
DeVito works for the mob. He's like a mob plant, right?
Probably. There's no way you don't get to be that Italian.
They play Philadelphia twice in these last games. I hope they can pull one of those out. That'd be great. Dallas needs that.
He's playing well.
Yeah, man. Maybe they found their quarterback.
But, you know, like, there is talent. There's quarterback talent out there that you can find.
Daniel Jones might be available.
But yeah, so like,
but you want somebody you have confidence in.
I would definitely. I think Fields would be great. I just
so
need
you
to
are
watch
on board with the Fields.
Yeah, I need to check that a little more. I need to watch him play some.
That's going to be the news. That's going to be the story of the offseason, I think, is what Chicago decides to do with Fields. If they decide to keep him and then go for like Marvin Harrison Jr. or whatever,
that'd be a good pick.
That'd be good for them. They can trade that pick down and pick up
but
a lot more resources.
Hadn't their issue been offensive line related?
Everyone's issue is offensive line this year. It feels like the offensive line.
Well, but man, there's some bad quarterback play this year.
Yeah. Oh, well, we've had more backup quarterbacks play this year than any other time in NFL history.
Like Joe Flacco is starting.
And doing great, by the way.
Yeah, but he's starting National Football League games.
He's 38 years old, right?
Jeez.
And so the situation is, I think what's the number? I think the number is around 60 quarterbacks have started in the NFL this year. Which is more than any other time, I think, in NFL history. So we've had, and
that
the Jets alone have played like five different quarterbacks, right? If you include those three snaps that Aaron Rodgers
played.
I do
like that he got that Zach Wilson's back starting.
Yes, and he balled out.
Yeah, he played.
I was happy to see that.
I liked his response of like, what are they going to do, bench me again?
Like, well, and I think maybe that helps, right? Because now he's like, look, this is it.
I don't care anymore. Yeah.
I don't care anymore. And he threw some. I watched a little bit of that game. He threw some passes. Like, he's got talent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's something going on in his head, obviously.
I
want to see him succeed with everything he's taken. All of the criticism and everything that he's taken. I'm hoping he does well.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah.
And I think he will. But, you know, it's kind of crazy how many second chances he's gotten.
Yeah. Well, when you're the second pick in the draft and you're from a team that took somebody else second that they had to get rid of, like at some point Jets are like, we just got to stick with somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
But you know, like,
but you're right. You're
a
right.
A lot of other quarterbacks don't get
another
chance. Like
he's
the way
he's just
he
a
has.
Charming guy, man. You know, he knows he's probably hanging out with the owner's wife a little bit. Who knows? speaking of quarterbacks, let's move to our fun, Our paradoxically fun segment today, talking about a fourth round quarterback who was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys in 2016 and stole the job from my favorite Cowboy.
So
is
your
Tony
hatred?
Romo.
I mean, if we can get on the therapist couch here, is your hatred of Dak more that his name is not Tony Romo?
No, I have no hatred for Dak. I think he's a great guy, great kid, and I wish nothing but
he's
the best.
He's a real sweet boy.
He is a quarterback who was. Who was held up by maybe the best offensive line in the history of football in 2016 when he came in a great running game with Ezekiel Elliott in rookie year. And since that year, 2016, when he unrightfully stole rookie of the year from Ezekiel Elliott.
He did.
and took Tony Romo's job, forcing Tony Romo, my favorite quarterback, and I think the best quarterback Dallas Cowboys ever had.
Oof.
Took
that, Troy Aikman.
Well, I have some questions about him, and I don't. And since then, he's not been great. Now, here's what I have to say: this year, he has been balling out.
He is figured something out
over the past since they readjusted the offense back to a Kellen Moore kind of situation after our bye week.
Yeah,
Dak Prescott has come on throwing seven games. He's thrown 22 touchdowns, two picks, and he is playing better football than anybody in the NFL right now.
That is such good football.
And I've watched every single one of these snaps, and he's throwing good passes. Like and
it's not just open guys. It's
he's actually he's actually throwing the ball the way he's supposed to. And I think a lot of that has to do with he's throwing it on the move. He's getting out of the pocket.
So
I think
a little bit of the system is kind of more.
They've given him more control as well. Yeah. If he can change the play, which he wasn't able to do before. Oof. And so now he can kind of see things. And he's a gunslinger. And so a lot of the non-picks are some degree luck in the sense that like it's not getting deflected here, it's not getting dropped there.
Yeah.
Which is what happened last year. Last year was an anomaly as far as his number of interceptions.
Yeah.
I've always thought that he throws a little behind or a little over. But right now he's throwing on target. So I don't know what happened.
If it's just like he got more in sync with his receivers or if it's just like they finally some offensive coordinator was like, all right, let me just run what works.
I think he's always been a great deep ball passer from the pocket. Mm-hmm. I think he's always had that. His issue has been throwing from the pocket when it's not deep, when it's less than, you know, when it's less than 30, 40 yards down the field.
Yeah.
What he's been doing is moving out of the pocket, and he can throw on the run in a way that it reminds me of like Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. He's not those guys. He's not that, but he's much better. Well, when he can see the whole field,
there's
move
not
away.
Many people who are.
Yeah, right. Obviously, but right now they're talking about him as the head-on favorite to win the MVP. Which here's an interesting stat that I just learned yesterday.
If he gets an MVP, are you gonna maybe
I'm gonna lay off of him for a little bit, but what I want is a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and I want him not to be the reason why we lose in the playoffs. And if that, I
would agree with that.
I will give him props, and I will take back what I've said about him. If he can lead us to the playoffs and get us into the playoffs and get us to the Super Bowl, and he's not the reason we lose, because I still see that leather shoe dropping. I can't
but I do
give
think,
him my
though,
full
that,
credit.
Like, on some level, you have to play well in the regular season to play well in the playoffs.
I agree with that, and he's showing me what I need to see right now. But mm-hmm. regular season for the Dallas Cowboys doesn't mean anything. Right,
because you're
Mike McCarthy.
Mike
McCarthy has led us to three straight double digit wins for our Cowboys, and that hasn't happened since the early 90s.
That's impressive.
Here's the other stat that I learned yesterday that I did not know. If Dak wins the MVP, he'll be the very first Dallas Cowboy to ever win the league MVP. Roger Staubach never won it. Troy Aikman never won it.
When you had Emmitt Smith?
Yeah, he'll be the first quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Emmitt Smith won it. Emmitt Smith won it in 95, I think.
Emmitt Smith or...
Yeah. No. He'll be the first Dallas Cowboy quarterback. And Dallas Cowboy quarterback, regardless of what you may think or say, is the highest pressured, most prestigious position in all of sports. And we've never won an MVP. That's insane.
I would like to...
I would like to counter that.
Counter,
I think starting pitcher for the New York Yankees
or playing
center for the Lakers.
All of this is what you're saying is completely wrong. Vladimir Putin has a daughter.
Oh no!
Who does like figure skating?
Yeah.
And the guy who has to catch her is easily the highest stress position in all of sports.
He ends up in Ukraine the next day.
No, he ends up getting fed to a tiger or something.
You might be right about that. Although, I don't know, Jerry Jones, you know.
Well, that's a good point. But in American sports, I will definitely give you that it's up there.
I will say, though, I am impressed by the way he's playing right now. I'm impressed by the Cowboys, the way they're playing overall.
Do you think it's more important to be – do you think it's more pressure to be – to perform at your job as the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys or the governor of Texas?
You mean from the standpoint of people who live in Texas? Because
just in general,
I mean, they're both high, I guess, high pressure.
I would
based on
I
my,
would think so. Here's
I would
think
the
I
Cowboys
think head
quarterback
coach,
maybe.
I think head coach University of Georgia is a higher pressure job than governor of Georgia.
Well, it's a higher paid job for sure.
Well, yeah, but I think you're under more scrutiny as the head coach of Georgia.
Oh, I think so.
Than you are as the governor of Georgia.
Right. I think that's probably true. There's some truth to that.
Yeah,
right?
And I would argue there's
about,
probably some of that. In Texas as well.
Oh, absolutely. Particularly in Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would say that there really is no position in sports that is more highly critiqued and higher pressure than being Cowboys quarterback. I can't think of any of them because Cowboys, and it has nothing to do with us being good or anything like that.
But just
everything to do with the fact that
wild fan base.
Yeah, and it leads all the sports, like all the sports talk radio, all the sport. You know, this people are talking about this. Like you said many times, they move the needle. But good luck to Dak. I am cheering for him. Obviously, I want hoping to do well. We'll see.
All right,
we'll see what happens.
But as of right now, you're cautiously optimistic.
I'm cautiously optimistic. It does.
I'll take that.
I've said this before, and I am a Cowboys fan, so I have a little bit of a disease. But it does
psychosis?
feel different this year. It does feel different. If we can get playoffs at home, that would go a long way.
Y'all seem better than y'all have in the past.
Yeah. We'll see.
Y'all's defense is legit.
We'll see.
And y'all have that amazing pass rush.
Yeah.
But
we'll
all right.
See. We'll see. All right. Well, Edward, thank you
thank
for
you.
Being here today. Guys, thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week.